Hey, and welcome to the Points to Paradise podcast, where we discuss all things travel-related, travel inspiration, and credit card points and miles. I'm your host, Megan Lanford, a stay-at-home mama, vacation lover, and small-town girl who learned how to travel for nearly free. Me and my family went from taking maybe one vacation a year to over 6 trips in a year. I want to show you exactly how to make you and your family's travel goals come true. I want to show you that traveling to dream destinations is possible without ever having to worry about how much money it'll cost you. So if you're ready to be inspired and start traveling with your family for nearly free, you've come to the right place. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Points to Paradise podcast. I'm so happy to have you here because we have a special guest with us today. We have Michelle and we are going to talk all about balancing our life. She works with overwhelmed, overthinking, overworking women. And of course, I believe truly that travel is the best way to find a balance and get away. So she's going to give us all the tips and tricks so that we don't get towards the end of our life and wish that we would have slowed down and taken more time with our loved ones. So welcome, Michelle.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So tell our listeners who you are and what you do.
So I'm a life coach and I help overwhelmed working women try to create a more calm and intentional life for themselves, including exactly what you're talking about, being able to enjoy quality time with their families instead of being short with their kids because they're so stressed about work, and being able to focus at work instead of feeling mom guilt about not being with their kids.
Yeah, that's awesome. The work you do, I know, is just so helpful for women who are stuck in that cycle. And so what would you say to the person who is overworking, never taking PTO time for herself, and thinks vacations sound great, but she's just so overwhelmed that she doesn't even know where to start?
Yeah, and I feel like lots of my clients are in that thinking or in that idea that I would like to take vacation, but I just can't. And so I would just invite them gently to really investigate what will happen if they're gone for a week, because it feels like the world's going to end or like the whole project's going to fall apart or whatever. But what I find is that when people actually do make the plunge, and usually my clients will have to like, okay, I'm just going to join one or two calls. You know, they'll start there and then they'll eventually get to one biggest victory of one of my clients who was self-employed is that she went on a trip overseas without bringing her computer at all. And she was like, I feel so free. I'm not checking in on work at all. It's so amazing. So I think that doing that mindset work around why it's okay to have a break and how everything can be okay if you're not there, and even if it isn't, who else can take your place, or that someone can wait for 4 days while you're gone or whatever it is, because otherwise you're going to all the work to planning this vacation, spending all this money, having your spouse and your kids take time off, and then you're not even enjoying it. It's just such a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that so much. When I was working, I thought like, yeah, I couldn't leave for a week because then everything would fall apart and the project I was working on wouldn't get done. But it's really okay when you do leave.
I know. And now it wasn't for a vacation, but my kids are both adopted and I was in the middle of leading this huge project and it was the biggest deal in the world if you asked me. And we found out that we were getting our son with like 3 hours notice before we had to leave. Like, he had been born, he was in the hospital, they wanted us to come and pick him up. So we left immediately. And then I went on maternity leave. Unpaid maternity leave is a no. We didn't have adoption leave at my company, but I went on maternity leave with literally no notice. And that, now I can't even remember the name of that project or like why it was so important, or, you know, it felt at the end, like, this is going to be the end of the world. And what are these people going to do without me? And they were all like, reach out to me. They're like, we're not going to reach out to you. Yeah. Just enjoy your time with your baby. So that was a really helpful experience for me to say, okay, I took off 12 weeks with absolutely no notice. So I can take off 1 week with notice and asking people to back me up. And it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband was the same way. He's self-employed. And so he does not like taking time off. And we've finally gotten to a point where he enjoys the vacation, but it's still kind of a struggle to get him to go on to the vacation because he's so stressed about leaving and not having work while he's gone and stuff. And so what would you say to someone who's just kind of overthinking it too much and stressed about leaving, even though they know that they're going to enjoy the vacation and it'll be good for them? Just what kind of mindset work do you really focus on people before, like, they do something like that?
Yeah. So I would definitely try to figure out what it is that they're thinking and what they're worrying about and help them, what I call worry it all the way through. So I don't know what your husband's job is. What does your husband do?
So he runs a heavy equipment construction company. And so a lot of it is dirt work, wildland firefighting with heavy equipment and stuff like that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you'd have to think, so what if something happens while I'm gone? I don't know. Maybe they would call his backup, right?
And yeah.
And then what would happen? And then the backup doesn't do as good a job as I would have done. Okay. And then what would happen? Well, maybe the customer's dissatisfied. Okay. And then what would happen? When you get back, you call them and you try to work it out and you've gone on vacation. So sometimes our brain freaks out. And when we actually go through and you can ask yourself, and then what would happen, about five times, you can usually get to the root of it. And normally the bottom of what would happen is that you just feel uncomfortable. So you feel uncomfortable leaving. And a lot of times we'll say, well, I'll get to the point where I feel comfortable and then I'll go on vacation. But that never comes, because we're always going to feel uncomfortable about leaving. So you have to be able to go on the vacation knowing, like for me, for example, when I get on the plane, I do start to feel good, but I have to get there, get unpacked, take some deep breaths, and then I'm like, okay, I've just transitioned into the vacation part of it.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, it takes a lot to get us there sometimes. It really does.
Yeah, yeah, and that's okay. I think the expectation that we'll, like, walk out the door, you know, the night before we leave and work and just be like, woohoo, footloose and fancy free. No, you got to stop the mail. You got to take the dog to the dog sitter. You got to think of 1 million things that you have to do before you can do it. So it's okay, and I think it's good to remind yourself, like, I feel a little uncomfortable going on vacation. It takes me a little bit to adjust to it, and that is just totally fine.
Yeah, 100%. And I think travel is a great way to find more of that abundance in your life and to slow down and spend time. But for someone who maybe is overworking and stressed and maybe doesn't have the time to go on vacation, what's some of the other things just in your everyday life? Because I want everyone to have that balance, whether they're taking vacations all the time or not.
Yeah, I think the first thing, in order to work yourself into a vacation, I think you just have to practice doing things that you enjoy, even in small little pieces or small little parts. And so I'm looking at my window right now because I have this beautiful tree in my front yard and it's blooming and it's a spring-like day and we've had a freezing cold winter. I don't know about you, but we've had a freezing cold winter. And so maybe I say, okay, after this, it's 4 o'clock. I'm just going to go out for a nice walk. Or instead of scrolling on Instagram, I'm going to read a book for 10 minutes. Just little small things that you remind yourself, and this is true for a lot of moms, maybe all parents, that you're always putting someone else first. And if you never put yourself first, then you're never going to do something like take a vacation you want to take.
Yeah, exactly. You're always going to put everybody else before you and just keep burying it down.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So how has travel shaped your life and your family? I know that you have prioritized traveling with your family, and how has that helped you with your balance?
Yeah, it's been great. So I used to have a corporate job for about 20 years before I quit and started my own business. And when I had a corporate job, the good thing was I traveled a lot. So I got to see a lot of cool places on my company's dime and some not so cool places. But I got to see a lot of cool places. So I enjoyed that. And when I was a kid, my parents always prioritized travel. My dad worked, my mom stayed home. And my dad, at the beginning of every year, the first thing he would put on his calendar and he would show it to us was when we were going to go on vacation. It was like before any of his meetings he organized or whatever. And so that was a really great example to me, to say the first thing you plan is when you're going to be on vacation, and then you fill in all the other stuff. So that was like,
ooh,
really,
I love that. So,
yeah, your daughter will probably be like that. So that's probably what she'll be saying on a podcast one day.
Yes. I know, we're going to let her pick her birthday vacations every year when she gets a little bit older. And I'm like, oh gosh, she's going to go crazy.
Yep, she probably will. Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. So ever since my kids were little, because I kind of grew up traveling, I traveled a lot for work. And when my kids were little, I lived out of town from the rest of my family. And so I traveled all the time with my kids. We'd either meet my family somewhere or I'd come home for a while and whatever. So my kids got to be just pro travelers when they were little, and now they're teenagers, and we have a map hanging up in our house, and we put pins of all the places that we've gone.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely like our fun thing. And if somebody says it, like my son is a good example, he's 17 and he really wants to go to Japan because he's very into cars and they have this whole car culture there that he's super into. I know nothing. Well, I know a lot about it because he forces me to watch Instagram videos, but I did not previously know a lot about it. But that's the next trip that I'm working on planning. Next summer, we're going to go to Japan. And so now it's so fun to think about and talk about with him. And every time I see somebody on social media who's gone to Japan, I'm like, send me your itinerary. What was the coolest thing that you did? So it's fun, not just for me, but also for my kids.
Yeah, I know. It's so important that we show our kids that so that they have that different lifestyle as they're growing up so that they don't have to wait till they retire to travel or something like that. And
yeah,
I mean, for us, like my childhood, we just did road trips and it was to the next state over and stuff. So for them to be able to actually plan vacations at that age, I think that's so fun to include them.
Yeah, so much fun. And they also, I mean, when I went to my 50th of all 50 states, I think they were like 3 and 7 years old or something. And so they knew that that was a goal of mine. They track the states that they go to. Last year, we went to Europe. And I really involved them in the planning process. You know, where should we go? What kind of places should we stay? What sounds like fun to you? And it was really their idea of what to do was very different than mine. So that was fun that they were involved because then they were so invested.
Yeah. Can you share a little bit more on how you involve them in the planning process? Because I know we were just talking about this and I thought it was so interesting.
Yeah. So I figured out basically we had, I have a friend there from when I studied abroad in college who lives in Italy. And then I have a friend who lives in Paris. My best friend from high school just so happens to live in Paris right now. And so we kind of knew we had these two stops, but I was like, the world is our oyster. We knew we were going to do trains. So I was like, we could go this way and we could go to Germany or we could go that way. And so I asked them what they would be most interested in, knowing we were going to Paris first. And I was trying to tell them about the Louvre and how it's this world-renowned museum. I was like, what do you guys think? And they were like, nah. I mean, they just had no interest in it. And I've already been there. So I was like, okay, if you don't want to go, we don't have to go. But what do you want to do? And my daughter said, I'm most excited about the bakeries, about the French bakeries. So I ended up booking a class for us. It's one of my favorite memories of the whole trip. We went and made baguettes in like a real French bakery, and they were amazing and delicious. And we got to carry them around and look like real Parisians. And then my son, who loves cars, while we were doing that, he's like, all I want to do is go out on the street and watch all these different cars than we have at home. And then for him, we planned a whole trip to Germany where we went to the Porsche Museum and then we went to the Mercedes-Benz Museum. And so for him, that was like a super cool, fun thing that I wouldn't have planned. I like cars, but I wouldn't have planned a whole trip around it. And it turned out to be so much fun and so interesting and just, you know, going to Germany and seeing what was different between Germany and France. And then we went to Switzerland, then we went to Italy. So it was awesome.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, because sometimes we think we know our kids, but then when we actually ask them, it's something that we would have never even thought about.
Yeah, exactly. And usually with teenagers, you're guessing wrong, or whatever you want to do is like so mortifying and embarrassing. So to bring them in on that planning, and I wanted to really maximize, like, this is their first time going to Europe. How many places can we go? How many things can we see? And our last 2 or 3 days there, we ended up, our flight got delayed by like 2.5 days, which I've never heard of a delay that long.
Oh my goodness.
But we were in the south of France. We were in Nice. And I was like, okay, great. You know, what can we do here? And my kids said, can we just like go to the beach and chill all day?
Yeah, I bet they were tired.
Yeah, that's what they wanted to do. And so we got a hotel with air conditioning because we had been hot for many days in a row, just various places we stayed. So we got a hotel with air conditioning, and then we just went to the beach and we ended up collecting colored sea glass. It was just a place that had a ton of that. And that was another super special memory that was built just on the fact that they were tired. And I said, okay, we can do whatever you guys want. So
yeah.
It was awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. So did you just plan out all the different hotels that you stayed at ahead of time and like how long you were staying in each city, or how did you kind of plan that out?
Yep, that's exactly what I did. Yep. Okay. Just how many days will we be here? And then kind of what will we do there? One thing I would recommend to people that worked really well for kids my age, so they're 14 and 17. When we first got to Paris, we did a bike tour of all the main sites so we could sort of see what was there. And then we went back to things we found interesting.
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah, we went to Germany. We took like a, what do you call those buses that don't have the top? Like the double decker.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And where you could see. So we kind of, we try to get a big idea and then say that looks interesting, or I don't care about going back and doing that. So that was a really fun approach we took.
So I know you didn't book that trip on points. Do you mind sharing how much that trip cost for what was 2.5 weeks?
It was $12,000. And
oh my
I saved for it for, I wanted to do it the summer before, but I hadn't saved enough to do it. And then I saved enough to buy the plane tickets and I bought those. So that would be like a certain chunk taken care of. And then I saved more for us to go on the actual trip. And then I had sort of the food and souvenirs and that kind of stuff budget. So I spent a lot of time thinking about and planning for the money part of it. And you know, like you and I have talked about, I could have probably saved myself a ton of money if I had known how to use points correctly.
Well, that's all right. We're going to do it for your Japan trip next year.
Yeah, that's right. That's my goal. That's my goal.
Then you can spend all the money you want on food and souvenirs and tours.
Yes, yes. It looks, I mean, now I'm like obsessed and I think I totally believe in the law of attraction. So now that I'm thinking about Japan, all these Japan things
are
coming into my view, like people who are going there and TV shows and whatever. And I get more and more excited every time I see something new.
Yeah. So other than Europe, where has been like your favorite place that you've ever traveled?
Gosh. Okay. For relaxation purposes, a really nice all-inclusive on the beach is very hard to beat for me.
Yes.
It was one in Mexico. Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. As far as adventure goes, I would say being with my kids in Europe and just traveling around was my absolute favorite place for sure. In the U.S., after being in all 50 states, I think Utah is probably my favorite. It's just so naturally beautiful.
Yeah,
you know,
and
the
there's so many parks.
And the mountains, and all the people are really outdoorsy, and the food was healthy. It was just everything that I love.
Yeah. Have you been to Zion?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Zion National Park. That place is gorgeous.
Yes, it was awesome. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of your tips and tricks. Where can people find you and work with you?
So my podcast is called Overwhelmed Working Woman, and you could also go to my website, which is michellegauthier.com, and you can find blog posts. I've got a free quiz about why you're feeling overwhelmed, and it will give you some tips on what to do for that. So if you start there, you'll be able to find almost anything.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today and sharing all of your wisdom with us.
Yes, I love what you're doing. It's so much fun and really can enable people to have trips they wouldn't otherwise be able to do.
Well, thank you. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and I will see you next week.